Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
If you could have been with me yesterday watching the football games, if you could have been there with me and seen the anger that I had watching the NFC Championship game yesterday. The AFC Championship game I thought was a lot of fun. I thought it, you know, kind of proved one thing about one quarterback, maybe proved another thing about another quarterback. You know, again, this was kind of a heavyweight title fight, and, well, we got to the bottom of that one. Then the NFC game. I had no dog in this fight. None. I really didn't have a dog in the first game either. I just don't like the Ravens because I'm a Titans fan, so I was happy to see them lose. But I have no dog in the San Francisco or Detroit fight. I picked San Francisco on Friday. I felt like San Francisco was going to win, but I had no feeling one way or another. And as I'm watching Detroit just run roughshod on San Francisco in the first half, I'm not going to lie, I started to get excited. I started to get excited about the people of Detroit, because Detroit's football team is a lot like our football team. Nobody cares about them. Nobody expects anything from them. And quite frankly, when they win, it's like, woo, little old Detroit. But I have to ask this question. Ian, have you ever been to Detroit?
I have not, no.
If you've ever been to Detroit, you know what I'm talking about. Detroit has been crapped on by the United States of America for the last at least 15 years, since the crash of the economy and the auto industry and everything else. I mean, if you go to downtown Detroit, I was there in 2012. I went to a Tigers-Yankees game. I was in town for a wedding, and the Tigers are playing, and so me and my buddy, we went to the game. And so if you go to downtown Detroit, it's this beautiful football stadium, this beautiful baseball stadium, this beautiful casino, and then everything else is just depressing. It's just boarded up buildings and everything's run down. And so Detroit, quite frankly, has been crapped on both as a city and in football for pretty much my entire lifetime. Specifically in football. And so here are the Lions, the lovable Lions. The quarterback was rejected by the Rams because they didn't think they could win with him. And the coach is a freaking hamburger head who everybody loves because they play hard for him and he cries grown man tears. And they're running roughshod on San Francisco and they've got a big lead. And I'm thinking, good for them. And before halftime, Dan Campbell, with an opportunity to go up by three scores, sat there with his headset on, and he thought about it, and they said on the TV broadcast, you know, he kind of likes to go for this. And then he said, nah, put his hands up for field goal. And they ran the field goal team, 17-point lead. Brock Purdy's pants were brown at halftime. Again, three-possession game. San Francisco gets the ball, they go down the field, they kick it, and then stupidity set in. I could not explain to you how angry I was for the people of Detroit, for everything that they've been through as football fans, the misery that they've been through, really in pro sports in general, ever since the NHL put in a salary cap and the Red Wings couldn't just win every single cup in a row. I mean, it's been miserable there. And so I'm thinking, okay, here you go. Here's your shot. And the moron coach went for it on fourth down. And they didn't get it. And I thought, oh no. Oh no. Because I'm counting possessions in my head. And at that point, I'm like, San Francisco is one play away from winning this game. One play. Everything Detroit's been through, you could see it. You could feel it. Just like you could feel the Ravens collapse when Zay Flowers fumbled the ball at the goal line. Just like you could feel the confidence in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You could feel the collapse in Detroit when they're sitting there at the 30-yard line or whatever it is, and it's fourth and short, and Dan Campbell's sitting there, and it's a 14-point game in the second half, and I am like, kick the field goal. And the reason I said kick the field goal is because it is a two-possession game, which means they are one play away from being in it. The momentum is hanging right here. You kick the field goal. It's a three-possession game. They go to commercial. They come back. You kick it off. You run your defense out there. And everybody in the stadium is looking at Brock Purdy saying, Brock, is there anything you can do for us? And now all the pressure's on them. And instead, they ran a play for Josh Reynolds. And that one play happened. Purdy launched a ball down the field. It hit Kendall Wilder in the face mask. Brandon Ayuk made a great play. And at that point, game was over. Then in the fourth quarter, that moron coach, congratulations, your players love you. That moron coach with an opportunity to tie the game. Nope. We're going to go for it. Ah! I felt so bad for the people of Detroit. It hurt me how bad I felt for the people of Detroit yesterday. And maybe because I see a little bit of Titans in that, but more so just because I know as a football fandom what they've been through. So if I were the Lions, I'd fire Dan Campbell today. There is no room for that stupidity in the NFL. And you are never going to win if you coach as stupid as he did yesterday. And it has got to be called out. There is a difference between being aggressive and being a moron, right? There's a difference between aggressive driving. You know, I'm going to, you know, maybe get over to this left lane right here. I'm going to maybe, you know, try to speed up here to get through this red light. And then there is going 95 and a 15. There is a difference between the two. And I don't care what the analytics say. I don't care what some egghead from Harvard says about, well, you know, and the way the game was going. You could feel it. You could feel the collapse coming. You could see it. And not only that, everybody praises Dan Campbell for the fact that, you know, those players, they are an extension of him out there on the field. And they were yesterday. Once he crapped his pants, then the running back crapped his pants, then the wide receiver crapped his pants, then the DB crapped his pants, then the special teamer with the ball at the 1 yard line crapped his pants, then Amon-Ra St. Brown crapped his pants. I mean, they were an extension of him yesterday. Dan Campbell seems like a great guy, a real good man. Those players love him. But I think we also have to admit, he's also an idiot. Like, I think we have to admit that. And what kills me about this for Detroit is that this was their one chance. You know, Kansas City's going to be back. They might lose the Super Bowl. I don't think they will, but they might lose the Super Bowl, but Kansas City will be back. The Ravens, will they be back in the AFC Championship game as the number one seed? I don't know, maybe. But they'll be back in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, and San Francisco's there every year. The Lions, this was their shot. They've got an average quarterback. They've got a guru offensive coordinator who is leaving to be a head coach. A trip to the Super Bowl. It was right there. It was in their hands, and the coach blew it. Well, Jared, that's how he's been coaching all year. Guess what? Good. Then he'll never get to the Super Bowl. So what's the point of keeping him around anyways? And down by 3 in the fourth quarter with a chance to tie the game. Nope, we're going for it! What about the previous going for it gave you confidence? And then don't even get me started on running the ball under 2 minutes with 3 timeouts when you have to get it back. You have to get the ball back. You cannot run the football. You'd be better off bringing out your field goal team and kicking and then kicking off and using your 3 timeouts and trying to score a touchdown there. Everybody knows that. So if I owned the Lions, I'd fire Dan Campbell. And I wouldn't have any regrets. and the amount of people that last night said, Jared, you can't fire Dan Campbell. He's the one who turned the Lions around. Anybody who says that does not understand the history of sports. Jerry Krause fired Doug Collins after they got the Chicago Bulls to the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you think he regrets promoting Phil Jackson? I don't. Grady Little, in 2003, the Boston Red Sox won 95 games. They were down 0-2 in the division series to the Oakland A's. They came back. They won three in a row. And they had the Yankees on the ropes in Game 7. And one bad bullpen decision by leaving Pedro Martinez in the game got Grady Little fired, only to hire Terry Francona and end the 86-year drought the next year. Detroit Lion fans, you probably don't care about me. And before yesterday, I'm not sure I cared about you. But you deserve better than the arrogance and the incompetence last night. And shame on Greg Olson, and shame on everybody else out there in the media trying to finger wag us into this idea that Dan Campbell isn't a complete and total moron after watching the game yesterday. I cannot believe what I saw. And I am still so angry for the people of Detroit. It is so hard to get to a conference championship game. It is so hard if you don't have Peyton Manning as your quarterback. It is so hard if you don't have an incredible roster like the 49ers and a guru coach. This is your one shot. This is your one chance. Like Brian Billick's Ravens had one shot with Trent Dilfer at quarterback, and it worked. You get one chance. And that moron screwed it up by having to go for it, baby! And I can't tolerate that. You got to fire that guy. Because at the end of the day, there is at least a little bit of brains that are required in coaching. Just a little bit. I know it's amazing. I know it's a great story when the lovable moron gets his team to play hard. I know it's like a Disney movie, like Little Giants, where you just feel so good about him. The reject quarterback, the moron coach that, you know, eats his own boogers. I know it's great. But the problem is that it's not practical for success. At some point, you have to at least use your head a little bit, just a little bit. And he couldn't do it. And so even talking about this is making me angry now. So they should fire that coach. Because again, I understand he had a great season. He screwed up in the game or whatever it may be. But there are consequences for when you mess up in the big game. You miss a field goal and your team loses a regular season game in November at Philadelphia, you'll probably get to keep your job. You miss a game-winning field goal like Tyler Bass did last week for the Buffalo Bills or a game-tying field goal, you're probably not coming back. The stakes matter. And so I shouldn't care. Detroit, you know, it's a nothing franchise. It's never won anything in my lifetime. Nobody cares about the city of Detroit. Nobody voluntarily goes to the city of Detroit on their own. And yet I can't help but just feel angry for them. Just feel just like they got screwed as a city because of their moronic head coach. Oh, my goodness. It's just, I feel so painful for them. And so I'd fire the coach. And I'd elevate the offensive coordinator, who I think is probably more important to that entire operation anyways. And I'd make him the head coach. And I would go on about my business just like the Chicago Bulls did when they elevated Phil Jackson. And just like the Boston Red Sox did when they hired Terry Francona. And it worked out for them. So I give it a try. As opposed to going for it on 4th and 28, which I'm sure Dan Campbell probably wants to do. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in on this. And I got to say something about yesterday's game. Of where it really hurts. Where it hurts me putting myself in their shoes. And Score one for Mike Vrabel yesterday, by the way. I'll explain how we'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
How much of this collapse are you putting on Dan Campbell and the coaching?
Yeah, very little. Let's be clear, though. This is a disastrous collapse for Detroit. To be up 14-0, to be up 24-7, and to lose in that way, disaster. I put very little on Dan Campbell. Everyone's talking about kicking field goals and whatnot. 4th-and-2, they throw the ball to Josh Reynolds. He drops it. Then we come back, and then there's going to be a drop on 3rd down by Josh Reynolds in the 3rd quarter. And then there's the fumble by Gibbs in the 3rd quarter. All led to 17 points. Dan Campbell not kicking field goals doesn't lead to those 2 drops. Dan Campbell not kicking field goals doesn't lead to that Gibbs fumble.
You got a 24-7 lead at halftime. You do not have an excuse to lose that game and to get blitzed in the 3rd quarter the way that you did. I mean, not only was the game was tied by the end of the 3rd quarter. Tied by the end of the 3rd quarter. And ultimately, you ended up scoring 27 unanswered points before you put up something. I'm sorry. I got to look at the coach there, and I got to say, yo, man, that this was not your shining moment.
I remember when I was in Denver and being one of the leaders. Every time we left the locker room during a playoff game, I would always tell the guys, don't you be the one. Don't you be the one that get a penalty that cost us. Don't you be the one that fumble the football that cost us. Coach, don't you be the one to try to be the smartest man that ever played to get coach the game. Take those points.
I mean, thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Stephen A. And, of course, Dan Orlovsky, smartest guy in the room, has to back Dan Campbell, the dumbest guy in the room, who is not trying to claim to be the smartest guy in the room, but then did dumbest guy in the room stuff. And now the people who want to be the smartest guy in the room are trying to back the dumbest guy in the room. And, again, here's what kills me for Detroit fans. It is so hard to get where they were. It is so hard to get to the AFC Championship game, to get to the NFC title game, where you've got a lead, where you've really got control of the ball game. It is so hard to get there. And yet, gone. And I love this. It wasn't Dan Campbell that dropped the ball. It wasn't Dan Campbell that fumbled the football. It wasn't Dan Campbell. Then why have a coach? If none of the mistakes that are made by the players are the coach's fault at all, then why have the coach? And at what point is the coach supposed to calm everybody down and not lead to the floodgates opening, which Dan Campbell did yesterday? And what kills me is that performance was so unforgivable yesterday, including running the football under 2 minutes with all 3 timeouts, and so many people are forgiving it today. Like, Jared, he coached like that all year. Well, congratulations. And when he continues to coach like that, you'll continue to not get to the Super Bowl. And I got to give Vrabel credit here. I'm going to do this because one of the things that the Titans have been dragging Mike Vrabel through the mud on in hindsight is this. He was unable to allow analytics to help him out or whatever it may be. Basically, the narrative that Vrabel was anti-analytic. Guess what? Vrabel wouldn't have pissed that lead away yesterday. Vrabel would not have pissed that lead away to Brock Purdy. Wouldn't have done it. Vrabel would have kicked that field goal, gone up by 3 possessions, and at that point, how many possessions are left in the game for San Francisco? 4? So you're up 3 possessions. There's 4 possessions left. All you've got to do is get 1 more stop or 1 more score and you win. That's it. And instead, the coach couldn't help himself. We got to go for it. And it's like, you know what? Congratulations, moron. That's why you're at home today. And so many people are like, oh, no, it's not the moron coach. It's like part of the reason why you love this guy is because he's a moron. Well, here's the downside of that. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I am so mad about this. And I get even more mad when people are like, oh, no, Jared, this is how we always coach. It's good. Then you'll always lose in the playoffs. Craig is up next. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Good. Go.
I'm doing well. Listen, I agree with 90% of what you're saying, except for criticizing the coaching decisions and comparing them to Vrabel's and Tennessee. It sounds
so. Then
a little
you disagree
honest,
with everything I said, because that's all I've said is that, like, the coaching decisions were terrible.
I think I agree with you on that, but I think there was a lot of luck on the other side, the catch off the face mask, stepping out of bounds, some drop passes. Sometimes
that's
it's
not
better
luck.
To be lucky than good.
That's not – the one thing that's luck is the ball that hit Vildor in the face mask that was caught by Ayuk. That was the one lucky thing. And that's the whole point in this. That's the whole point is that if you make it a two-possession game, if you allow it to be a two-possession game, you are one play away from them being in the game. And that's what drives me bananas about these analytic people is they don't believe in momentum. They don't believe in clutch. They don't believe in those factors, which are very much a part of sports, right? Like, in October, I don't want Derek Jeter coming up to bat with a chance to win the game, because Derek Jeter, unlike everybody else, is probably going to come through with the game on the line. So if you kick the field goal, that one lucky play that San Francisco got doesn't all of a sudden completely shift the game. And that's why that coach is a moron.
I wouldn't call him a moron, but I will say that I think there's only so much coaching you can do during the game, right?
Like, yes, kick the field goal. Thank you for your call, Craig.
Is what matters, and it's down to the players after
Craig,
that. That's all I'm saying.
This is all coaching. Like, this is all coaching. Like, to say, like, you know, there's only so much the coach can do. Agreed. That's why I don't blame Baltimore's coach for why they lost yesterday. That was mano a mano. Mahomes outdueled Lamar, and Zay Flowers fumbled the ball, and that's not the coach's fault. But not kicking the field goal is 100% the coach's fault. And I get all these people that keep saying, like, he's been doing this all year, Jared. He's been doing this all year. He didn't do it in the first half. In the first half, they called timeout on fourth down with like 15 seconds to go. And the offense stood on the field, and they showed him on TV. And he had his headset on, and he was standing there, and you could tell he was thinking. And then all of a sudden, he put two arms up in the air to say field goal. And the field goal team ran on the field. And you want to know how I know he was thinking about it before he put his hands up for field goal? Because if he was going to kick the field goal in that instance, they would have gone to the referee and they would have waited until there was 3 seconds, and then they would have called timeout. And so instead he called timeout because he was thinking about it. And then he realized, you know what? Or somebody over the headset said, nah, we should probably go up 3 possessions going into the second half. Okay, field goal. That's why. So don't give me the coach can only do so much. This coach had a 3-possession lead in his hands, and he decided to risk it. And not only that, the other thing is, what did he risk it for? He risked it for another 3-possession lead. If you score a touchdown, it is still a 3-possession game. It's not like he was choosing between a 4-possession lead and a 3-possession lead. He was choosing between a 3-possession lead and a 3-possession lead. And even if they get the first down, there's no guarantee that you're going to score a touchdown. So what are we talking about here? Like, it's basic. And then you're trying to give me the, oh, no, he dropped the ball. Oh, stop. 615-737-1025. More your phones. Plus, let's not make yesterday about Brock Purdy, okay? Like, let's not make it about Brock Purdy. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Some of you have texted into the text line about the AFC game, and I promise we will get to that too. That was a freaking great game on a lot of different levels, but this is all I'm so angry about a game involving two teams and two coaches that I don't care about. And it's the ignorance or the stupidity of it. I don't know what it is that makes me so mad, but I am mad. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Thursday. Vandy's women's basketball team takes on Mississippi at home. Pregame 6:15, tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. And on Wednesday, Vandy's men's basketball team is on the road at Auburn. Pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Third and goal.
Yeah, the problem right now for Ben Johnson is you're on the 1.5-yard line. You'd love to run the ball, but down here with all these bodies, if you get tackled short, by the time they peel everybody off the pile to preserve your three timeouts, you'd let a ton of clock run down.
Well, they brought Montgomery in, and maybe they do it anyway.
And if you run it, you got to score. They did not go big people. They got three wide receivers on the field.
They give it to Montgomery. He is swarmed.
That's the problem with running it down there. And now they got to take a timeout. So now you've made.
Now they have to kick an onside kick.
Now you have to get the onside kick and or the game's over.
Where's the analytics community on that one? I mean, I played Madden football when I was a kid. Guess what? Everybody knows you need all three timeouts after the two-minute warning. You can survive. If you have to call a timeout in the third quarter to avoid a delay of game, or you get a look on defense that you don't like, and it's like, timeout, and you've got to burn that first one, and so you've got two timeouts. You have to know, hey, if we got to make this a one-possession game before the two-minute warning because we need that two-minute warning to stop the clock. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. And they ran the freaking ball. I mean, they've got one of the best tight ends in the NFL. They got a running back who's incredible catching the ball out of the backfield. They got a number one receiver. And they ran the ball. They ran the ball. So somebody defend that one for me. What analytic formula do we have that defends that one? Somebody give that to me. And I would say the analytics community is really pushing back today. Like, oh no, Jared, the only people that don't like analytics are the people that don't understand analytics. No, I understand analytics. Analytics are, you know, supposedly like a computation of all of these things that have happened in the past. And so it tells you that you are more likely to win the game if you do this. But somebody has to explain to me how we come up with this mathematical formula that says you are more likely to win the game if you get a first down on fourth and two that allows you to then take a two-possession game and try to make it a three-possession game when you can kick and it makes it a three-possession game. And not only that, when we think analytics, do you think Dan Campbell? When we think about Harvard and Yale and Princeton and pocket protectors and those really, really, really thick glasses, do we think Dan Campbell? When we think intellectual, do we think Dan Campbell? I don't. And I'll say this. I think I am a thoughtful person. But I don't think I'm the smartest person in the world. So I know that when we talk about, again, analytics, high math scores, we don't think Jared Stillman. So now we're supposed to think that Dan Campbell has all the answers? Michael is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Michael?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I completely agree with you. The second that I saw them go out and stay on the field for that fourth and two, the first one that happened, I said to my dad, it's like, this is a bad idea. Just kick the ball and you're up 17 points. There's literally no reason to ever not go up three scores in a game if you can handle it. But I think that now that I was surprised by how many people were defending Dan Campbell after that, and especially with that Orlovsky take that y'all played a few minutes ago. I think at this point that we're seeing a new media Mike Vrabel with the fact that, like, there's so many people in the media that just never say anything bad about him. And I think Dan Campbell has started to earn that reputation a bit. So in a few years when they eventually fire him for doing some very Mike Vrabel-y decisions, that there's going to be people who are saying, oh, well, you can't fire Dan Campbell. He's going to get a job the day after you fire him. So
well,
you
and
can't
what
let that
what is
guy
going
go,
to be the
even
reason
he loses a bunch
Michael,
of games.
Michael, what is going to be the reason What is the number one Mike Vrabel thing Dan Campbell is about to do?
I'm not saying Mike Vrabel.
He is about to lose. Michael Hutch, thank you for your call. He is about to lose his offensive coordinator. Like, just like how Mike Vrabel lost his offensive coordinator and couldn't replace him, Dan Campbell is going to lose his offensive coordinator. And Jared Goff will go back to being Jared Goff, just like Ryan Tannehill went back to being Ryan Tannehill. Like, that is going to happen to the Lions. And they will never, ever, ever, ever get back to that moment right there. They will never, ever do it. And I agree. It's going to be, oh, Dan Campbell's such a great coach. He changed the culture in Detroit. That's okay to celebrate him for that and then say, well, we got to get somebody smarter in here who can take them to the next level. We got to promote the guy, the guru offensive coordinator we have, who I have my questions about in general, but especially after running the ball on that third down. You know, that we got that guru offensive coordinator. Let's try to keep a good thing going with Jared Goff. I actually think it is the right thing to do. I think it is the smart thing to do to prioritize the offensive coordinator over the macho head coach. But they'll never do it. And I agree. Orlovsky's like, oh, you know, if this guy hadn't dropped it, if this guy hadn't fumbled, if this guy... Basically what happened is, at one point, the entire Detroit Lions team completely melted down. And guys that are good, like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs, started doing things that they shouldn't do, like drop the ball or fumble the ball or whatever. Gee, what could that one thing have been? I am telling you right now, if you were to call a timeout and take Dan Campbell out of the game, out of the stadium, and put Mike Vrabel there with a headset, the Detroit Lions are in the Super Bowl. I am convinced of it. You will not convince me otherwise, because Vrabel's going to kick that field goal. And as the momentum swings and everything else, Vrabel does not have some egghead on the headset telling him, like, no, coach, the predictability here says that momentum isn't real. And I will give Vrabel that. And I also don't think that Vrabel was as bad with analytics as everybody makes it out to be. I just think that Vrabel probably decided that, you know, we're going to go with the gut sometimes. And sometimes the gut's good. Now, the problem with Campbell is that I think his gut is the problem. Like, his gut wanted to go for it before the half. That is an issue. Texter says, the problem with your theory is that the 49ers scored on four straight possessions after the failed conversion. Yes, BP from Springfield, because, again, I think momentum is real. Like, I believe that momentum is real. I believe that pressure is real. I believe that some guys excel under pressure, i.e. Mahomes. And I think some guys absolutely crap their pants under pressure, i.e. Dan Campbell. I think it is absolutely real. It's like Tannehill in that AFC game against the Bengals. Once Tannehill threw that first interception against Cincinnati, you were screwed. If he had gone the first drive and they had gone right down the field and scored a touchdown, I think it would have been a totally different game. But at the end, when the Titans were feeling tight and they were like, oh no, we really don't want Tannehill to throw the ball because he has absolutely poo-pooed his pants today. They ran the ball twice. And CJ Uzama said on the sidelines, like, oh yeah, they're scared. That's real. And if you make it a three-possession game and the Fox goes to another commercial and they come back out and Brock Purdy takes the field and he throws an incompletion and they start booing, then all of a sudden, now it's like an avalanche is going on the 49ers. And Purdy was doo-dooing his pants in the first half. That interception he threw to Rodrigo, terrible. And so, again, I know everybody wants to play the game on the computer. And they want to come out and say, here are the probabilities. And I'm fine with that. Like, if I was coaching, there is a level of analytics where I would want to ask, like, hey, what do the numbers say we do here? Well, the numbers say that we should kick the field goal here. Okay. Now, I'm the coach. I have that information in my toolbox, and I'm weighing that all with everything else. If I've got a field goal kicker who can't kick, that's going to change my perception. If the analytics are saying we should run the football here, but Derrick Henry's out because he broke his leg, Now that may change the perception of what I'm going to do. But not in Detroit. Not here. We got to go for it all the time. Ah! You know, Detroit was lucky enough that they got the first two games at home because they should have had to go to the number two seed in Dallas, but they didn't because Dallas lost. But they should have been the two seed because they should have beaten Dallas because they went for a two-point conversion on the 7-yard line. And you guys think that's acceptable behavior? Ay, ay, ay. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll roll through more of your phones here on the program, and I do have a pretty take I want to get off my chest. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game here on our program. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, the game.
Did Brock Purdy put all the criticism to bed with yesterday's performance?
No. He's going to have to do it in the Super Bowl. Have to do it in the Super Bowl. So let me get this. If he gets to the Super Bowl and he plays like he did against the Ravens, what are you saying, Dio? If he gets to the Super Bowl and plays like he played against the Ravens, what are we going to say? No. Did he answer a lot of my questions? Yes, because I wanted to see him down. I wanted to see every throw matter, every possession matter. He answered that. He turned into the playmaker, even used his legs. Guys, now, we're not going to expect, so we expected him to throw a pass that lands off the defender's head and Ayuk catches it. That's a diagram play. We expected him to roll to his left, throw over a defensive lineman that jumps, and Jawan Jennings goes up with one hand, lays back. We expected that, right, Dio?
What do you want from this guy?
I just ask you a simple question. Is that in the playbook where we throw it 40 yards down the field, hope it hits a defender's head, and Brandon Ayuk catches it? Yes or no? That should have been a pick.
There you go. Ian, did Brock Purdy, you change your mind about Brock Purdy at all off of yesterday?
As far as?
Like how good he is, elite, not elite, that kind of thing.
I mean, not really. He pretty much looked the same as he had in the playoffs, a little bit shaky.
He's fine.
He's fine, yeah.
He's fine. I mean, he doo-dooed his pants in the first half. No way around that. But that yesterday was about Detroit. Like, that was about Detroit. And I kept thinking about, you know, these, like, big moments for guys when they become elite. And what I think it is I think it's a when-you-beat-the-man kind of moment. Like, Lamar Jackson yesterday, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And he didn't beat the man. Mahomes, he had to beat Joe Burrow last year. Like, that was a big one. Beating Joe Burrow after Burrow had beaten him in the AFC Championship game, that was a big one. Burrow beat the man the year before. Like, Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, he had to beat Kurt Warner and the Rams, and he did. I agree with Shannon. Like, let's see the Super Bowl and then come talk to me. I think he's fine. But I really thought in that first half, if Dan Campbell didn't choke that game away, Kyle Shanahan would be on the phone right now with Kirk Cousins because Brock Purdy did not look up to it in the first half yesterday. And I almost kind of hate that for Shanahan because he's got a win now team. Like, their window is this year, next year, and maybe the year after that. And I don't know if Purdy's Dak Prescott or not. I don't know. Like, he's gone through Jordan Love and Jared Goff. You want to win the Super Bowl, and this is what we always talked about with Tannehill. You want to win the Super Bowl in the AFC, you're going to have to go through Josh Allen 1 week, Patrick Mahomes the next week, Joe Burrow the next week. Now throw in Aaron Rodgers, or a couple years ago it was Tom Brady. And the reason why the Titans couldn't get to the Super Bowl is because they ran into Mahomes. So I'm not a, you know, Purdy. You guys can have him. Tyron in Brentwood is up next, 615-737-1025. Tyron, go ahead.
Yeah, anybody defending Dan Campbell needs to have their head examined and their brain dead. He completely gagged that game. I mean, he teed down his leg, and your heart goes out for Detroit fans because they have been wearing the weight of 30 years of substitute. And in that moment where if he just kicks the field goal, goes up three scores, I believe Purdy was about to panic and make another ill-advised interception or big mistake. I mean, the game was won. And I knew right when he didn't kick the field goal and the receiver dropped the ball, I said, okay, yep, they're the Lions, and here comes an improbable comeback, which never should have been in play. Campbell blew it. And I agree with you. I'm not so sure I'll let that offensive coordinator get out the door. I mean, it would be extreme, but you got to check the temperature in the room. He's the real reason why they had the success this year, because he made Jared Goff look like a great quarterback, and you're right. He's going to go right back to sucking when he gets out of there and them sticking with Macho Man Randy Savage. So he completely blew it. And I also say this, Lamar, he's not a big game quarterback. He cannot lose in a game yesterday, Jared. They had the Chiefs to 17 points and zero in the second half. Now, if I had told anybody a week ago that the Chiefs wasn't going to score but 17 points, we would all agree the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl, and Lamar couldn't get it done. A boneheaded interception, a strip sack, held the ball entirely too long numerous times. He's not a big-game quarterback. He doesn't belong on the same field with Mahomes. And in 2 weeks, this is to Mahomes to continue on the Brady trajectory. He cannot lose to Purdy. He cannot allow Brock Purdy be the reason why he don't go back-to-back. Take care, my friend.
Tyron, thank you for your call. I mean, we'll get to Lamar in the next segment because I do have a lot of thoughts on the AFC game. On the NFC game front, on, you know, he brought up that once they didn't get the first one, Josh Reynolds dropped the ball and they didn't convert, and all of a sudden it's a two-possession game. I sat there and I thought, oh my God, what a stooge. I mean, I texted Coach Shoup and I was like, I'm going to go crazy that he didn't kick that field goal. And Coach Shoup told me, he's like, my brother just texted me the same thing. And I go back to the, like, Ben Johnson thing, right? So, to me, this is a choice of, if we fire Dan Campbell because Dan Campbell is a dope, it's not, okay, now we're going to go out and bring in Barry Switzer to coach. It is, we're going to elevate Ben Johnson to be the head coach, who's going to get a head coaching job anyways. Is that really so bad? And I keep going back to the decision that the Chicago Bulls made. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in 1989. And they fired Doug Collins. And they elevated Phil Jackson. Was that a bad decision? I mean, I know the people in Chicago booed Jerry Krause a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, I think it was a smart decision to elevate the greatest coach in basketball history. Well, maybe Red Auerbach's ahead of Phil, but you know what I mean. So if Johnson's the better coach, and I can't imagine that he's not, if Johnson's the better coach, why would you not fire Dan Campbell to elevate Johnson? One texter says, so you think if the Lions lose their OC, they're done? What if the Steelers don't hire Arthur Smith and Detroit goes after him? I think that would be a good fit for him. It just kind of feels like it's the secret sauce with Johnson. Like they felt like a team that had one shot to get it done. Whereas all the other teams, like, they've got the pieces to be back. They might not be back next year, but like, they've got the pieces to make another run at it. Whereas, like you in 2019, that kind of felt like that was Detroit's shot. That's just my opinion, though. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Now to the AFC game. Lamar and Mahomes, that was a heavyweight fight, and you should be allowed to draw the lines of demarcation after that yesterday. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And, hey, Super Saturday, be sure to join us for our first ever Super Saturday on Saturday, February 10th at New Heights Brewery in Nashville, 1 to 5, for this fun, family-friendly soup fest benefiting the National Predators Foundation. Enjoy live music, games for kids, and come sample soup from Mafiosa's, 615 Chutney, Westin Hotel, Jasper's, and more. To purchase tickets and to see participating restaurants, go to thegamenational.com/soup. And you can also enter to win tickets to Super Saturday. Just text in the keyword soup, S-O-U-P, now to 615-737-1025.